hallucinogenic plants, something that the extraterrestrials frowned on. When the extraterrestrials that had dedicated attention to the development of the other four planets found out that humanity on Earth was evolving and advancing, but had done it through a process that they considered unworthy, they decided to come here some 30,000 to 35,000 years ago and induce a terrible regression in the form of a collective forgetting or global amnesia on the part of humanity. This is mentioned in the Bible in Genesis chapter 11 when it refers to the Tower of Babel. There was an era in history when human beings used to speak the same language. What this means is that we had developed telepathy, extrasensory perception, and we had even been able to construct a ladder to the sky, meaning a connection with the superior, with other realities. And the Bible says that the Elohim were afraid that to the human being nothing would be impossible. So they decided to intervene, to make us forget. That is how 30 to 35,000 years ago, a terrible devolution of the human being was induced in the form of a generalized amnesia, which served to enable the visitors to reassert their own supervision and their control. 25,000 years ago, the beings of two big civilizations, Orion and Pleiades, were sent by the Galactic Counselors to intervene on our planet as guardians and sentinels. Some of them were beings from Orion, and others were beings of the Pleiades. Not all Orions had a humanoid or anthropomorphic appearance. They were ones with reptilian appearance, specifically the chief of the Orions, who was called Satan, an extraterrestrial, not to be confused with Lucifer, who was an ultra-terrestrial. Over centuries of angelology, the study of angels, so much confusion has developed that sometimes the same name is used to refer to an angel of light or one of darkness, and vice versa. For example, the word Satan, adversary, is used to refer to Lucifer when they are two completely different entities. The guardians and sentinels had the idea to evaluate the evolutionary process of humanity. As mentioned earlier, a terrible devolution had been produced, specifically referred to in chapter 11 of Genesis, when it says the Elohim saw that the human beings spoke the same language and that we had been able to build a ladder to the sky, that now nothing would be impossible for us. This ladder obviously wasn't a ziggurat, or a tower, or a pyramid, but a psychic and spiritual connection. So they decided to come here and confuse the languages. They made us forget, and that forgetting was a form of devolution as recorded in the cosmic plan. Then the responsibility of these guardians and sentinels was assigned to Satan, who was a loyal follower of the teachings of Lucifer. Satan took a moment to consider that if the project had failed in the other seven planets, and that if here the experimenters had lost control of the experiment from the beginning, it could jeopardize the cosmic status quo, the established order. The best thing to do, he reasoned, was cancel the project and end it so that the experiment would not continue in our world. Not all the guardians and sentinels were in agreement with Satan's point of view, and some of them stayed loyal to the cosmic plan, while others turned against it. Thus, a tension and crisis arose among the guardians, initially on the theoretic level, but subsequently became a real war of the galaxies, whose echoes still resound throughout the universe. The Bible tells of the war between the sons of light and the sons of darkness, the war of the angels. The Mahabharata and the Ramayana talk about the true war of galaxies, with our world as a neutral scenario of their battles. At the end, the leaders of the opposition were subjected to extradition to Earth. They didn't want to come to help us. They were forced to come here. Even though not all the Orions participated with the dissidents, and many of them remained faithful to the cosmic plan, they were replaced by beings of Sirio, a greater clan, who along with the Pleiadians remained as guardians and sentinels. Those Orions who remained loyal were sent to the moons of Jupiter, and they remained there in mining colonies observing our planet, with hopes that someday They could act as planetary instructors and compensate for the damage that their failures had caused us, or vindicate themselves as a civilization. Those beings that were deported here to the Earth should have changed their attitude, but that didn't happen. From the very first moment, they declared war to the death against humanity, and they tried to keep the cosmic plan from proceeding, so that humanity would not reach a level of evolution that they didn't want, or that they feared that the humans could achieve. They constituted a secret world government, fearsome and negative. These satanic forces started to conspire terribly against humanity. Being accustomed to living for thousands of years outside our world, they prematurely became old and died, becoming trapped in a fourth dimension here on our planet. Throughout history, they have influenced many human beings, persons with weak character and weak will. They connected these persons to politics, religion, and economy, to the leadership of the military, and to fashion and music, in order to sow worldwide chaos through these human agents and lead the world to its own destruction. The extraterrestrial beings of this terrifying and negative planetary regime are the ones who also somehow had influence over the Pleiadians to commit the serious transgression of having sexual relations with human beings on Earth. It was Semiasis, the boss of the 200 Pleiadians, who had sexual contact with the human beings. This is mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, when it says, "When the men started populating the earth and producing children, and the sons of God, the angels of heaven, seeing before their eyes that the daughters of men were beautiful, took as many as they wanted, and with them they procreated the ancient heroes of the past." That is how these 200 extraterrestrials had sexual contact and produced hybrids, mestizos, and were reunited in a group of 10 islands, the largest of them, Dondo Island, in the Atlantic Ocean. There they established their capital in Poseidon and Zolosidopolis. As Plato mentions in his dialogues, Critias and Timaeus, as well as in the Republic, such was the knowledge and technology received from the extraterrestrials by the Atlanteans that it allowed them to develop large experimentation labs. They manipulated the brains of dolphins and whales, contributing to the advancement of these two creatures. They also allowed the Atlanteans to travel beyond our world, toward the stars. They had the intention of establishing colonies on Malek, Termini, Yoma, a planet that would have existed between Mars and Jupiter, and they would use Mars as a springboard to get there. Because this would permit the Atlanteans to get far away from the evolutionary process of their planet and wouldn't affect it, they were allowed to pursue it. This is why we found a huge phase on Mars, discovered in 1976 by Viking 1 and Viking 2 in the Cydonia zone. Pyramids were also discovered in the Liseo zone of what appeared to be ruins of large cities in the Utopia zone. The Atlanteans coexisted underground on Mars with a Martian race that would have received the Atlanteans with curiosity. The technology these Martians received and the great advancement developed by the Atlanteans led to the gradual decimation of the Martian civilization. It also attracted an asteroid of erratic orbit called in those times Marduk. It would have crashed against Terma, Yoma, or Malek, and the resulting meteor shower would have rained destruction on the colonies of Mars. That same meteoric shower would have reached the Earth, first making impact on the Moon. The Earth trapped two big fragments that remained for a time as additional moons, meaning that at a certain moment of planetary history, we had three moons. Those additional moons would subsequently have been absorbed by the Earth. One of them crashed in the Pacific Ocean, leaving as an imprint the Philippines Basin of 11 kilometers in depth. Later, the other moon fell in the Caribbean, leaving as impact the Puerto Rico Basin of 9 kilometers in depth. This created a zone of magnetic aberration, where the line forces go from pole to pole tend to curl, forming whirlwinds and vortices of electromagnetic forces that collapse space-time, opening gates to other dimensions. These great destructions would have caused the last major glaciation 11 to 12,000 million years ago and would have covered the Antarctic with ice. The Antarctic was a continent that was going through the last period of Lemuria, the period of Mu. This was the greatest advancement of the original black race on our planet. This was the greatest advancement of the original black race on our planet, after the intervention of the Guardians and Sentinels. The Lemurians had then to be rescued and taken out of there. They were taken to Mesoamerica in what is now Mexico, and that's how the Olmec civilization emerges. The last archaeological discoveries made in the state of Guerrero, on the Pacific coast of Mexico, demonstrate the Olmec culture was thousands of years older than we originally supposed, and that would explain their Negro facial features. The Olmecs also appear in stelas in great stone sculptures driving spaceships, something that later we will see repeated in the Maya civilization itself. To counteract the nefarious effect of all these negative influences, 32 beings from 32 different civilizations were sent to Earth and landed in the desert of Gobia in Mongolia and founded the mythical Shambhala, the capital of the Dagartha kingdom of the extraterrestrial world. A web of tunnels and galleries was established where large deposits and files of knowledge of the lost history of humanity reposed, in hopes that someday men of goodwill could have access to such knowledge. We could all awaken our consciousness and remember the mission that has been assigned to us in the cosmic plan. Learn to love and teach others to love. Love in its supreme exaltation, in its essence. After the disaster that supposedly destroyed Atlantis in the last period of Lemuria, the extraterrestrials, the Guardians and Sentinels, decided to accelerate the process of humanity, and that's how they concentrated their efforts in Mesopotamia, where the Sumeria project emerged. Sumer or Sumeria translates the country of spaceships, and it is there where the first pyramids, the ziggurats, are constructed. They were not astronomic observation towers or temples. They were towers of ascent and descent for spaceships, just like today we have been able to interpret from the clay tablets written in ideographic symbols and cuneiform that have survived to our days. In the Sumerian era, small city-states emerged where the extraterrestrials decided to work with large collectives of people, giving them instruction and knowledge, but discouraging dependency. The Sumerian civilization achieved a great level of development, and the Sumerians themselves elected the Patesios, the Elsios, as representatives of the people to maintain fluent communication with the An, the goddesses of the sky, who would visit from time to time. During each of their visits, a fluid exchange of information and knowledge took place. Back then, the planetary quarantine imposed by the Guardians and Sentinels was not that rigid, allowing not only Ans, the gods of the sky, to arrive here with good intentions to further the cosmic plan, but also the Anunnaki, the sons of the prince, reptile-looking beings connected to Satan and the satanic forces, who from time to time would act in our world in a very negative fashion, trying to conduce the Sumerians to fight against each other. Great words were incited, and they encouraged very violent developments of peoples like the Sakarios, who ended up exterminating and destroying the Sumerians. The Sumerian project, working on a wide collective group of people, failed, because finally, at the end, dependencies had been created anyway. They were paying too much attention to the return of the Ans. The extraterrestrials, the Guardians and the Sentinels, and the planetary instructors decided therefore to work with an elite group of individuals. They chose for this the Egyptian priestess, heirs of the knowledge of Atlantis, survivors of the Atlantia, who came to Egypt with extraterrestrial knowledge because there were extraterrestrial colonies in Egypt. survivors of Sumeria settled there, so all that sum of knowledge and information was going to emerge as the great nation of Egypt. When still the rest of humanity was in the Neolithic age, the great Egyptian civilization appears. The great achievements of a civilization never occur at the beginning or the end, but at the height and splendor of development. The greatest development, extension, and expansion of Egypt was between the 18th, 19th, and 20th dynasty of the new empire. Nevertheless, in that era, there isn't anything similar to the pyramids, which are of the 3rd and 4th dynasty, especially the pyramids of Cheops, Khafre, and Cyrenus, the most famous, which date from the 4th dynasty. For these to be from the old empire, the most ancient Egyptian period, is impossible. This demonstrates that there is a connection with these beings from the sky and with the remaining Atlantis. The Egyptian priests, after receiving this superior knowledge, were supposed to retransmit it to the people, sharing it in a way that was comprehensible, in a way it could be understood. Nevertheless, with time, the priests, instead of sharing it with others, kept it for themselves, for self-education, and when initiating others, they didn't share all they knew, maybe because they considered that the others weren't worthy, or because they didn't want them to replace them in their work. The knowledge consequently started to become diluted, and it reached the point when knowledge was lost. Egypt fell under the influence of these terrifying dark forces that tried to get humanity to forget. So after failing in working with a wide group of people and also with an elite of individuals, it was decided to work with one individual and to program his or her genetics. By chance, the chosen one was Abraham, psychic since birth. He used to easily have telepathic communication with these beings. And what is more, he was such an intelligent man with such broad judgment that he accepted at that time, when there were 1,000 commonly accepted gods, the idea of one single god, which was a very advanced concept. The idea became to program Abraham's line of descendants, and you can see very clearly that all through the sacred history, there is evidence of serious genetic manipulations or interventions of these beings. For example, Abraham was not able to have children with Sarah. Nevertheless, with the help of those from above, they finally had Isaac. Isaac married Rebekah, but Rebekah was not able to have children either. Nevertheless, with the Lord's help, she conceived Jacob and Esau. Jacob married his cousin Leah, and then Rachel, the one who he really loved, but she was sterile too. But with the help of these beings from other worlds, she finally conceived Joseph, he of the premonitory dreams, he of the talent of prophecy, the one who interpreted the Pharaoh's dreams. Samson was the son of sterile parents, Samuel the same. Mary, the virgin, was the daughter of Joachim and Anna. They were not able to have children. With intervention from the heavens, Mary is born, creating conditions for the birth of Jesus Christ, who was not an extraterrestrial, but an extraordinary terrestrial. The New Testament tells the story of Jesus. Jesus had been a person, a human being on the earth, who through multiple reincarnations on this planet, had reached a high evolutionary level. He did not need to reincarnate. However, out of love for humanity, he accepted his destiny to come back. He prepared himself for his 3 years of public life in such a way that a cosmic symbiosis took place in him, a transmigration by which a being from the category of the sons of God, a jealous, a shining one, one of the creator parents named Mikhail, fused with him, coexisted with him during those 3 years, keeping him company in the realization of his great mission. What did this great mission consist of? Specifically to teach humanity that love is the strongest force in the universe, capable of overcoming everything and transforming everything, including overcoming death. Understanding love as respect, tolerance, and forgiveness among human beings. The day will come, according to the Apocalypse, that humanity will have access to a certain knowledge that was hidden for ages. When this knowledge emerges, the forces of darkness will become subject to humanity for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, which begin on the 22nd of December, year 2012, new millennium will start. And at the end of that millennium, it is believed that humanity will take the side of the forces of light in a last great battle, the Battle of Armageddon. But what would happen if at the moment humanity finds out that we have been victims of a cosmic conspiracy in which extraterrestrials and ultra-terrestrial forces, our creator parents, and even our older siblings have conspired against humanity? What would happen if in that moment, instead of humanity struggling against the darkness, in a supreme act of love we say, Father, forgive them, for they were mistaken. They tried to prevent the evolution of man on Earth, and on the contrary, they made man of greater value and greater significance. Such was the pressure on the coal, meaning humanity, that the quality of the diamond is excellent. In this moment of forgiveness, a cosmic redemption of the Earth will be sealed. What is expected to happen in the following years? Humanity will access knowledge that was hidden. A wealth of information will come to light. Information that has been hidden by the governments and by religions. The enlightenment will be so profound that many people won't be able to resist it. Among the things that humanity is going to discover is that we are in an alternative time, paradoxical, that we are not in real time, and that we are getting closer to a reconnection, a synchronization of times. In the months and years following December 22nd, year 2012, we are going to see a speeding up of psychic potential in dreams and consciousness. Great transformations in the planet will take place at the ecological and climatic levels, including natural catastrophes of tremendous impact. Why? Because the Earth is getting closer to a great planetary labor. The Maya civilization wisely anticipated this. They considered that starting in the year 2003, each year symbolically will be like a month of pregnancy, leading to a great planetary birth. That great labor has been foreseen as taking place between now and December 22nd, year 2012. Will humanity be capable of fulfilling the great mission that it has been assigned? Will we really be capable of all important moment of cosmic forgiveness? How will we be capable of such a gesture if prior to that we are not able to exercise tolerance and to forgive and accept our family and others the way they are? Today, the terrifying forces are trying to encourage whatever it takes to destabilize our civilization. Racial hate, ethnic hate, religious struggles and confrontations. We are at the most propitious moment in human history to demonstrate a real spiritual level in our striving for unity and diversity. We should emphasize everything that unites us and not what separates us. Remember that we are human beings and our home is planet Earth. A planet predestined to be the light for others, the light of the cosmos. We are not the center of creation, but we are at the center of a cosmic expectation. Otherwise, so many extraterrestrial civilizations wouldn't have been coming since immemorial time to our world. We are living the most extraordinary moment of human history, a great defining moment. It is also the time of a great awakening. Either we succeed at passing through these events, or we will simply not achieve the goal. Not a lot of people are needed to change the world. The Hopi Indians, or Pueblo Indians, talked about 144,000 sun dancers who had to remain dancing through a night of darkness to ensure the birth of the next day. The Apocalypse teaches us about 144,000 people who washed their clothes, meaning that they awoke their consciousness. Relatively few people are needed to change the world. What is needed is that all those people who are evolving and growing give their best and remain constant and committed to the process of change. Let's remember that we live in a universe without limits. The only limit is our own ignorance. Don't believe anything you have heard. Think, reflect, but the most important thing is to feel, because the truth is inside of everyone.